Today on The Grave Talks, Who's Coming Through? A conversation with Bruce Halliday. Just who are the voices that come through a ghost box? While we may assume that it's spirits or an otherworldly entity, just how specific can we define that? Earthbound, spirit world, even extraterrestrial? Bruce Halliday has been researching and studying these types of communications for more than a decade. Today, we discuss the different types of communication and who we may be connecting with on a ghost box session. I myself have recently gotten a ghost box, one of the last handful of months.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Have you used it yet?
I have been using it intermittently. I haven't really taken it out to a location or anything of that nature. It's just been kind of out here in my office. And, you know, I've not been using it daily by any stretch of the imagination, but right when I got it, I was messing around with it a little bit, and I could tell there were a couple times where I was getting little things here and there.
You know what it is, Tony?
Yeah.
First of all, to take it out to a location is fine, but there's a lot of external and ambient interference at a location.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you would have, you know, depending on whether you were indoors or outdoors, you got wind noise, you got electrical signals from power lines and utilities, you got, you know, in the location, if you're indoors, you may be in a location that doesn't receive a good signal. It's tough to do a ghost box session on location, believe it or not. Your best bet is to do what I call a controlled session, which would be like, say, in your office, mm-hmm. where you set up a recorder, you have a predetermined session to do, like with a topic or a series of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You pick the best spot for reception, and you do your thing. And that usually gleans the best communication.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people, I mean, including myself, being a novice in that area, would think, you know, taking it to a place is what you should be doing. But really what you're saying is you can be anywhere and communicate with almost anything if it wants to get through to you?
Absolutely. And if you have a certain location, like say there's people that go to, like, just say Waverly Hills. Let's use that as an example.
Sure.
Okay? And they'll go to Waverly Hills and they'll ask for a specific entity that's purportedly haunting that location,
mm-hmm.
by name. Now, they'll get some results or whatever. But now if I wanted to contact that specific entity, let's just call him Joe, mm-hmm. just for the sake of argument. And I knew Joe was purportedly haunting Waverly Hills, and I wanted to communicate with Joe. I don't necessarily have to be on location at Waverly Hills to communicate with him, even if he is an entity that's grounded or stuck or is occupying Waverly Hills. That's where technicians come in.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to ask my technicians to connect me with, specifically with him,
mm-hmm.
at Waverly Hills, they actually act as like a relay station. They'll relay my communication to that entity at Waverly Hills and then relay his communication back to me through the box.
Which is interesting. I mean, and if for someone who hasn't heard our conversations before, a technician is almost, it's like an operator, if you will. We're not talking about somebody here, a human that's alive, that's coming in and working on your ghost box. We're talking about,
right? Yeah, it's a spirit technician. But they have a as far as ITC is concerned, as far as live spirit communication is concerned,
mm-hmm.
A technician is a vital part of our our success. Okay, yeah, real hard word. Our success, mm-hmm. in communicating with entities that are not of this world. They actually do a number of tasks. They'll lend energy. They'll make the energy connection between us and the spirit world. They'll open that portal to have the energy flow back and forth. They'll add energy to entities that are trying to communicate that don't have a sufficient amount of energy to send their communication. They'll help facilitate it. They guard that doorway, make sure that no, you know, that they do their best to make sure that no negative or malevolent entities try to communicate or try to travel through that open portal that the box creates. Like I said, they act as a relay station between us and entities that are, you know, not in our immediate area, that are not communicating, not able to communicate through the box, but are earthbound. You know, they have a myriad of jobs over there, but without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Let me ask you this. When someone turns on the ghost box and starts trying to communicate, are they always going to get that technician first, that first voice that they hear that kind of comes through that's somewhat conscious?
Not necessarily. It depends on the operator. There'll always be a technician present.
Okay.
Always be a technician present to oversee the session. But if you don't have, like, see, I have set two technicians that I work with all the time, and I've been working with them for close to 15 years now. They manage every session that I do. The names are Mike and Lisa. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're there. I know that they'll be there when I turn that box on. So the first thing I do is I greet them. I ask for them. I make sure that they're there. I greet them by name. They greet me back. They let me know that they're doing okay. I let them know I'm doing okay. And then we go on with the session. So the first communication I receive in every session will be from my two technicians, but not necessarily you. Like, you haven't made a connection with a specific technician. Like, if you were to do sessions on a regular basis, mm-hmm. And they were aware of you doing sessions on a regular basis, and your energy signature began to grow on the other side, they would become more aware of your energy signal because of the amount of sessions that you're doing, the amount of connections that you're making. So they would probably assign you a specific technician. So when your energy signal appeared from you turning on the ghost box, they would actually, your assigned technician would actually pick up the session, and you would get to, he would start to let you know that was that same technician there, and you would find out what his name is, and eventually you would build like a relationship with him, and you would know that he would be there to help you in any instance that you needed him. But for somebody like, you know, to intermittently turn on a ghost box once in a while, or, you know, to use different boxes all the time, or use apps or whatever the case may be, they're not going to assign a specific technician to someone like that. So whoever's available at the moment that connection is made will handle the, you know, the communication in the session, but not necessarily interact with that operator, because there is no personal, there's no relationship connection between them.
Have you ever run into a situation where you've talked to someone else who uses a ghost box as frequently as you do that has one of the same technicians as you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I don't think there's anybody that uses a ghost box as frequently as me. I do a session every day.
True.
For the past, I would say, if I'm going to be honest, I would say for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. I've done a session almost every day, circumstances permitting, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's other operators out there, old timers that been around for a while, a good decade, that are, you know, have established a connection with a technician, that have the same technician work with them on a regular basis. Yeah.
Tell me, I mean, how long did it take for you to kind of realize and, you know, understand what was going on, to put these dots together and these pieces of the puzzle together and go, there's like an operator here. And then, as you call it, a technician.
It took a while. I in the beginning, when we first started, I mean, I was only one of two guys that were doing any kind of serious research. I mean, there was a few people out there that had ghost boxes, mm-hmm. or reasonable facsimiles of ghost boxes, which, you know, there were a few people around doing manual sweeps and stuff like that. But another individual and myself were the first two to actually sit down and start to do research, gather data, do controlled sessions, you know, with specific topics, specific questions, and try to glean information on who, what, where, when, and why. Mm-hmm. And I started to receive the same names over and over in every session. Mm-hmm. Mike, Lisa. And I would ask who these individuals were. And after not too long, maybe after a year or so, I started to get information, get answers from them. They didn't call themselves technicians. They don't have a name for that. That's what we call them. Mm-hmm. I coined that phrase way back in the day. But they they don't have a name for themselves. They don't refer to themselves in with a title. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They just refer to themselves by name. So mm-hmm. you know who they are. Matter of fact, my technician, Mike, he let me know way back in the beginning. He said, you know, you'll know it's me. I'm going to say, what's up?
Yeah.
And you'll know that it's me. When you hear what's up, you'll know that I'm there. You'll know that it's me communicating, you know, that I'm taking care of the session.
Sure.
So, you know, even now to this day, he'll, matter of fact, yesterday, my session yesterday, you know, I got on, I turned the box on and I said, you know, Mike, Lisa, you guys around, can you help me out today? And immediately the first thing out of the box was, hey, Bruce, what's up? So, you know, I know it's him, you know, and he says it now like kind of, he sends it in kind of a kidding, like a humorous way, mm-hmm. you know. Like, because it's been so long now that he says it like, you know, like, yeah, I'm still going to throw that in there every once in a while, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because as we talk about who you're communicating with on the other side, and technicians for you now is usually the first line and then kind of moves into other things if you're requesting that then. But right. What about when you do request something, are there times where you get an entity that is not who it you request it, or who it portrays itself to be, or has some sort of ulterior motive or something when you're trying to reach out there and communicate?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Was communication with extraterrestrials is one of them.
Okay.
And that actually leads into the topic you just brought up about false communication.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do get a lot of false communication. There's a couple of reasons for that I've been able to gather. The main reason being is if you're asking for a specific entity, say I'm asking for Joe Schmo, and, you know, I'll say, you know, hey, Mike or Lisa, can you bring Joe Schmo forward to communicate with me? Let me know when he's there and able to communicate. Mm-hmm. And I'll get a response. And, I'll get, you know, either a response of wait, or he's coming, or here, you know, or something that'll let me know what the situation is with that entity that I'm trying to communicate with.
Yeah.
And then I'll start to get communication with, like, I'm here, or it's me, something like that, you know, and I'll say, okay, if this is Joe Schmo trying to, you know, that's trying to communicate with me, can you say your name for me so that we can validate the communication? And I would say maybe 50% of the time you'll get them to say the name, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you ask another, you know, you, what happens is this, though, I don't want to go off into that. I'm just going to explain, you know, why we get false communication most of the time.
Okay.
An entity that wants to communicate is, it's such a powerful drive for them on that side, because it's their only venue, their only connection to the physical world, their only way to get whatever messages, whatever thoughts, whatever emotions they've carried with them over to that side that they weren't able to alleviate while they were here in the physical. The only opportunity that they see to get that across now, where it may reach some ears that it means something to, somebody that it means something to, is this type of communication. So they're chomping at the bit to get their specific message across or communicate in any fashion. Mm-hmm. So they'll practically tell you whatever you want to hear just to establish that line of communication, that open line of communication, and have your attention focused on them. And then eventually you'll know, because the question, the entity that you're going to contact, they're trying to contact, usually will be somebody that you're familiar with, or an individual whose reputation you'd be familiar with, and you'd ask specific questions. And the answers that you get to those questions were not, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to be on the money. They're not going to be spot on. So you're going to start to get that indication that who you're speaking to is not who they're portraying themselves to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask for a technician's help. See, technicians won't involve themselves in your session unless it's necessary or unless they're called upon. So what I'll do, if I start to believe that the entity I'm communicating with is not forthcoming, what I'll do is I'll ask my technician, you know, I'll say, Mike, Lisa, is this actually this individual so-and-so that I'm trying to communicate, is it actually them that's speaking with me? Mm-hmm. And they'll either tell me yes or no, and I'll accordingly go on from there, you know?
You there?
Yeah, sorry, Tony. I had to get up for a second. My dog was annoying me. I had to put him out of the room. Sorry.
I didn't know suddenly you had a stroke or something and just disappeared.
Hey, don't count me out yet, man. As far as like, you know, as far as that goes, I wanted to touch on today. I've been getting a lot of questions from people and a lot of requests for information about communication with aliens, with extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. Very hot subject. A lot of people are interested in it. A lot of people want to know whether that's possible, whether we are communicating with extraterrestrials, whether, you know, what if we are, how are we, where are they, who are they? And over the years, I mean, I've gotten, you know, messages that were vague that pertain to, you know, spaceships or otherworldly beings. But, you know, I always attributed that, because it was so sparse, I always attributed it to, like I just said, like false communication, like an entity that was trying to grab my attention or keep my attention. Mm-hmm. But being I started to get all of these inquiries from different people, I said, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do a controlled serious session just on the topic of extraterrestrial communication. Mm-hmm. Now, I did a whole session, 15-minute session, just containing about 10, 12 solid questions just on the topic of communication with alien beings, not alien entities, not alien spirits, not anything from another dimension, not the just physical extraterrestrials that were beings from another planet.
Yeah.
So I got, I would say, about 30 solid, clear communications. And they, all the communications were not completely vague. They were, because when we get, another funny thing about ghost box communication is the information that we get, if we get messages or we ask any type of specific question, the answers that we get are always interpretational. We never get, I wouldn't say never. I'm going to say the majority of the time, the answers that we get, you would have to think about. Mm-hmm. Like, if I asked, can you tell me the exact temperature right now? The answer would be, it's pretty warm. You know, they wouldn't say it's 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why is, because I think that I know, I don't think, I know through getting messages for years and years that they are under strict guidelines of what type of information they can send and how they can send it. So I don't know whether simple questions fall into that guideline, but the answers that we get the majority of the time are interpretational. But this extraterrestrial session, the majority were interpretational, but there were a few good, two or three good answers that were specific answers to specific questions.
So
one of the questions was, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so tell me about how you got into this. Were these questions that you were asking the technicians, or how did this begin?
Well, initially you'll ask the technicians, the initial questions, like the first questions of the session would be like, Michael, Lisa, could you tell me, do we actually have the ability to communicate with extraterrestrials? And you'll wait for a response. Mm-hmm. The response I got was yes. So I said, okay, now based on the response that you get initially, that will determine the direction of your session.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I got that initial automatic abrupt yes. Like it wasn't dragged out. I didn't have to wait for the answer. I didn't have to say, well, did they mean yes? Did they say maybe? Did they, you know, was it vague? It was a direct yes. Mm-hmm. So now I'll ask them to confirm that yes. I'll say, okay, I heard you say yes. Is that correct? We are able to communicate with extraterrestrial beings?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. I got a yes from both Mike and Lisa. Two yeses, male and female voice. So I know now specifically that I can go on with the session and ask my questions. So I asked one question during the session that really blew my mind. I didn't expect a direct answer to this question, but I got it. So now the next, actually the follow-up to determining whether it was possible to communicate through my technicians mm-hmm. was, am I able to communicate directly with these aliens at this point in this session?
Mm-hmm.
So I got a yes to that question. So now that leads me to direct the rest of my questions directly to whatever entities, whatever extraterrestrial beings may be communicating. So that's what I did. The next question I had was, if I'm communicating with extraterrestrial beings, can you tell me where you come from? And as clear as I'm talking to you right now, the answer came through the Kepler system.
The Kepler system.
Repeated it, went on. Asked a few more questions. How were you able to communicate? Where are you communicating from? Are you in proximity to this planet? Are you on this planet? The answer is varied. Okay. So now I had actually seen a post somewhere on a crop circle that was done. I think it was called the Woodward Crop Circle.
Okay.
It was a crop circle, an image of what we picture to be the quintessential alien, you know, with the big black eyes mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yeah.
It was an image of one of those aliens holding a disc, and inside the disc was all dots and dashes of like computer data.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an image it was posted online for a while. You know, I came across it a couple of times. So what I did was I downloaded the image, and as I was doing the session, I brought the image up on my computer, and I had asked the entities that were communicating back and forth with me. I said, you know, can you tell me what this is? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Maybe I can tell you exactly, if I can find it here, I'll tell you exactly what they said. Give me a second.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Oh, here it is. Okay. All right. Yeah, I asked them if they could tell me exactly what I was showing on my computer, what mm-hmm. the image depicted.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually came through and they said to me that, let me see if I can find a specific answer. Let's see. Oh, okay. Okay. When I asked, what is this a picture of? Okay. And the answer that they gave me was, now here's where one of those interpretational answers come through.
Mm-hmm.
It is a specific answer, but you have to think about it. Okay. They said they alter farms.
They alter farms. Okay.
They altered farms. Now, if you think about it, that's exactly what they do. They go to a farm, they go to a crop field, and they alter the crop field to make the crop circle.
Okay.
Image. So in essence, that's exactly what they're doing. They're altering the farm.
So on your computer screen, you had an image of a crop circle?
Right. I had an image of this specific crop circle. This wood, I think it's a wood, it was called the Woodward Crop Circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an image of an alien, like a gray alien that we would essentially think of, holding a disc, and inside the disc was data, computed data, right? That's what the crop circle image was. So
what's really interesting about that is it implies that they have knowledge or some way to see what you're doing in your home at that moment in time.
Now that's a two-parter right there.
Okay.
That's a possibility. But them being physical beings, unless they had a mechanical way to see into my home, into onto my computer screen, or what, or they would have to be have a way to retrieve the data that was being shown on my computer screen in order to see this image. Also, another alternative would be my technicians can actually see, because they can see into, they can see me, they can, I can, they can tell me what color shirt I'm wearing, what I'm holding in my hand, what are, you know, spirits, disembodied spirits of human beings that are, they're capable of seeing and hearing us at any time.
Okay.
So they can actually relay the image if I want the extraterrestrial, supposedly, that I'm speaking to, allegedly, to see the image that's on my computer screen. My technicians can actually relay an image to them.
Let me ask you this, because this is an interesting way of looking at it, possibly, as well. We're talking about possibly communicating with an extraterrestrial through the ghost box.
Right.
And maybe this is way out there, but I think we're already way out there. This idea of we're communicating with deceased spirits. What if you're also communicating with deceased spirits of extraterrestrials? We're at the end, where everybody goes, where everybody's at. What if this is where there's just a giant mix of both, you know, people who are that's human?
That's definitely, you know, that definitely will, let's just throw that into the mix.
That's
a possibility. Like, you can't discount that. You can, just the way you can't prove anything.
You know,
definitively prove anything. You can't definitively dismiss anything either.
Yeah.
And so, you know, any connotation is possible. Now, in that same communication I was just talking about, where they said they alter forms, I had asked them in that same line of you know, question and answer, I said, can you identify the image in this picture? You know, the being that's in this picture, can you identify them? And the answer was, they're my people, as clear as could be. So now, the following question was, the next part of the image, I said, there's something in the image that the individual is holding. Can you tell me what that is? Now, I didn't say it so that if it was a false communication, it was an entity that was not, you know, that was portraying themselves to be an extraterrestrial that I was communicating with, they would not have it, because I didn't state what it was. I didn't say, can you tell me if this is blah, blah, blah. I wanted them to tell me what it was. I wanted them, through seeing the image, to tell me what it was.
Okay.
You know? So I said, can you tell me what the individual in this image is holding? And it's clear as a bell. Disc of knowledge. So I said, okay.
What was the individual holding?
Say it again?
What was the individual holding in the picture?
Well, the alien that was depicted in the crop circle was holding a disc.
Okay, okay.
With all dots and dashes of, like, computer data inside the disc.
Okay.
Right? So the answer to the question was
very
disc
clear.
Of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? So now I started to get the chills a little bit. You know what I mean? So I said, okay, they're definitely seeing the picture. They definitely know. Can I be on the shadow of doubt? Now, all of this is going through my mind as I'm doing the session. So I said, can I, beyond the shadow of a doubt, believe that this is an extraterrestrial that's communicating with me? They told me where they're from, exactly where they're from. They told, they described this picture of the crop circle, you know, specifically items in it that you know, they would have to have seen it or have to know, you know, have a visual context to draw from to give me those answers. You know, so now I'm thinking, could it be a spirit entity that's portraying himself to be that way and being false, or is it actually an extraterrestrial, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was quite a few other questions that I asked about. I asked about what happens when the alien, I don't know, man, my brain is like on slow motion today. What do they call it when the aliens, an abduction, okay?
Sure.
So I asked about abductions. I asked about alien abductions. You know, I asked, do you guys abduct human beings from Earth? You know, do you do scientific tests on them. You know, is that an occurrence? Is that something you guys do? And they said, yes. Okay. So I said, you know, can you tell me why? What's the reason that you abduct these human beings? You know, and they said, the next answer was, they need something from Earth. That was the answer. So when I heard that, I said, okay, you need something from Earth. What do you need? What could you possibly need from Earth? I mean, you're traveling from God knows where, from I don't know how many light years away through space to visit our planet. You need something from us. You need something from Earth. What could it be? And the answer was, they want to breed.
Well, that's a scary one.
Yeah. So I said, listen, there's plenty of bars and plenty of clubs and stuff on Earth that you can visit. You can breed all you want. Yeah. So, I mean, so many answers that I got were, you know, very vague, and some were very specific. But mm-hmm. this whole session was an eye opener, because I was a strict believer in we're never capable of communicating with extraterrestrials mm-hmm. through a ghost box, for the simple reason that they told me that they came from the Kepler system. Now, the Kepler system is a planetary system that has a planet that we detected a couple of years ago that's in what they call the Goldilocks zone, that's capable of supporting life. Mm-hmm. You know, I looked into this. I researched it after I got that, you know, that communication. I researched the Kepler system and stuff like that. And the Kepler system is about 11 light years from Earth. Mm-hmm. So they, in essence, those extraterrestrials, if they were communicating, if they were in proximity to this planet or on this planet, they would have to have traveled 11 years at the speed of light just to reach Earth. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, if they come from that specific planet, now the next system that we're actually aware of is 96 light years from Earth. The next system that we're aware of that can support life mm-hmm. is 96 light years from Earth. So the shortest distance they would have to travel at the speed of light, unless they can travel multiple times the speed of light,
yeah,
it would take them decades just to get here. You know?
And that's, yeah, I mean, that's assuming they're operating with, you know, what we understand, you know. Of,
right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, to us, that would be the ultimate achievement, is to travel at the speed of light. And, yeah. and according to every known law of physics, it's impossible
yeah.
to travel at the speed of light. You can travel, you can get close to it, but to travel at the speed of light or further mm-hmm. than the speed of light, faster, would be impossible, according to all physics.
Sure. That wraps up part one of our conversation with Bruce Halliday. In part two, what is the Kepler system, and did something from it communicate with Bruce via the ghost box? Does the ghost box communicate with entities that are both earthbound and in the spirit world? Has Bruce ever had a spirit plea for help from the other side? And what can we do as the living in cases like this? All of that and more in part two of our conversation with Bruce Halliday. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.